Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called I'm Obsessed with My Roommate's Cooking by Trashtia. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible, and a huge shout out to you for listening. Let's get started. I found them on Craigslist, which was my first big mistake. Three college friends looking for a roommate to vibe with. Admittedly, I thought I had met my soulmates. How do I describe the feeling of meeting someone I feel like I've known my whole life? The second I stepped inside what would become my prison, I could smell it. Food. Home-cooked meals have always been my kryptonite, so stepping directly into the aroma of spaghetti sauce, my mouth was already watering. God, it smelled so good, teasing the back of my nose and throat. It's almost like the house itself knew I was hungry. The owner was a tiny blonde with enough enthusiasm to cast my gaze away from rat droppings on the floor, and there were a lot. It was the first thing I noticed. Not the homely glow spilling from the doorway, or the abstract paintings on the wall. There was too much poop to not notice. Squishy brown balls directly under her feet. That wasn't in the listing description. Still, though, the owner's smile was enough to drag my focus away from their lack of hygiene. I didn't know what to say, so I blurted, "That smells good." The blonde grinned, leaning against the door. "Oh, you'll get used to that." While I couldn't think of a response, she bounded forward. "Hi, you're here for the room." She stuck out her hand for me to shake, and immediately I noticed her fingernails. If I wasn't such a germ freak, I wouldn't have noticed her nails were filthy. A slight reddish tint coloring the stubs. That was a red flag. Until I noticed the plastic apron hanging loose over scuffed denim overalls. Ah, that made sense. Her name was Lizbeth, and she looked exactly like a Lizbeth. Untidy blonde hair hanging in loose pigtails. Nodding, I followed her into the hallway. "I'm Kia." Lizbeth was bursting with unhinged golden retriever energy. I already loved her. She was exactly how she came across via text, sending me emoji hearts and kisses and replying with, "I'm so excited to finally meet you." I appreciated her remembering to call me Kia and not Kiara. "We've been expecting you all afternoon." "Traffic," I lied, stepping out of my shoes. My anxiety had gotten the better of me. I'd been sitting in a local coffee shop for 2 hours, trying to psych myself up. I don't know why I was scared. I took a moment to drink in the hallway. It was cute. There were piles of shoes stacked up against the wall. I noticed a pair of snow boots, which was strange because I couldn't remember the last time our town had snow. I didn't realize I was frowning at the boots until Lizbeth gently grabbed my shoulders and steered me down the main hallway. "Welcome to our little family," she said. "It's not great, and we're thinking about moving, but for now, it's home. What do you think?" I smiled, appreciating the mix of modern and ancient. The house was old, but these guys had remodeled it to fit in the 21st century. I turned my attention to Lizbeth herself, who was absently swiping her hands on her apron. Everything about this girl screamed best friend, big sister energy. Her stripy socks were adorable. We already had a mutual love of Japanese dramas and cult classic horror movies. I didn't recall her telling me about her other passion, though. "Oh, you're an artist?" I remarked with what I hoped was a friendly smile. Lizbeth didn't turn around, sliding across the hardwood floor in her stripy socks. "Nope, I'm actually a writer." Maybe she was embarrassed of the paint splatters. I already knew the house was perfect for me when I walked straight into a game of Mario Kart, combined with a warm, homely aroma. Garlic. Two guys were arguing over the startup screen, seated on a ratty couch. There were already bowls of fresh pasta on the coffee table. I noticed an extra bowl set out, and I was already gravitating towards it. I didn't realize I was drooling until I had to wipe it away with my sleeve. One of the guys dropped his controller, shooting me a grin. His red hair was a little too red. He was cute, with wide brown eyes and freckles. "Kia, right?" His smile was friendly. "I'm Nate." He gestured to the other guy, a kid with a wiry frame, thick brown curls hanging in his eyes. The guy offered me a shy wave, standing awkwardly to the side. All three of them shared the same pale, almost too pale skin, and slightly sunken eyes. These guys weren't getting their vitamin D. "That's Finn, our resident cook." His lips curled into a smile. "He's also painfully bad at Mario Kart." The brunette, Finn, shoved him. "He's lying. I won the last three games." "Yeah, because I did it for you." "Boys," Lisbeth cut in. "I told you not to embarrass yourselves." Rolling his eyes like he had been scolded by his mother, Nate turned to me, slumping in front of his own dinner. "We knew you were coming." He nodded to the extra bowl. "Dig in. If you prefer a veggie dish, Finn can do a mean meat-free lasagna. There's some in the refrigerator if you want some." He shot me a grin. "You're lucky our boy is in his second year of culinary school." I politely took a seat. "I can eat," I said, trying to ignore Nate's sudden, obnoxious laugh. He was one of those types of guys. I thought class jokers died out after high school. Apparently not. "Dick jokes, though? Really?" His gaze tracked me grabbing my fork, his lips splitting into a grin when I took an experimental bite. Holy crap. Part of me wasn't surprised the three of them were obsessed with my reaction. It tasted amazing. The exact amount of spice, a thick consistency to the sauce, the mincemeat driving me to finish my bowl without even savoring it. I was asking for seconds before I could stop myself. The words tangled on my tongue. Finn was already jumping up, taking my bowl. "See?" Nate had spaghetti sauce all over his chin, and my stomach gurgled. I had to chew on the garlic bread side dish to shake away the sudden, overwhelming, almost painful urge to... I don't know. I don't think I wanted to know, but I was hyper-focused on the sauce staining his skin, just thick enough to... I let that train of thought die when I was given seconds, and inhaled that too. Finn's cooking. Damn. How do I describe it? It was exactly what I remembered from my mother's home-cooked meals, with an added something that I couldn't place. Was there a certain sauce he was using? Finn was in culinary school, so of course he had a signature taste. I don't remember much of my first night, just that I signed the contract as soon as I finished my food, my mind caught in a fog. Lisbeth showed me the rest of the house, and my room was great. A double bed with an ensuite and a great view of the town. But I couldn't stop thinking about Finn's spaghetti sauce. We played Mario Kart that night, and I strictly remember being driven half crazy with the urge to sneak into the kitchen and lick all of the plates clean. I could not stop thinking about the dish, the sauce, the pasta, the perfect ratio of salt on the pasta and garlic in the meat. I went to bed, my mind filled with nothing but Finn's food. He cooked for us every night, and I lost myself in a blur of tasty meals, ranging from homemade lasagna to chicken Alfredo. The food was restaurant quality, and I cleaned my plate every night, hungry. No, starving for more. It became an addiction. I stopped going to class. No, I forgot I had class. I couldn't think of anything but when Finn was home, and when he was going to cook me another meal. Days started to blur into one. Monday became Tuesday, and suddenly it was Saturday, and I was starting to salivate. I caught myself one night, sitting cross-legged on my bedroom floor, wet warmth dripping down my chin. The collar of my shirt was damp, pooling darkness seeping across the floorboards. I caught hold of myself. Drool. Finn's cooking was becoming a problem, also known as ruining my damn life. I tried to leave. I packed up my bags, but once I was in the hallway, once my hand was on the door handle, I could smell it. The aroma chasing me, leaching onto my brain. It dragged me back. I dropped my bags, drool already filling my mouth. "Kia?" Nate was behind me, a bowl of pasta in his hands. With those last fragmented pieces of logic lingering in my mind, I noticed his fingers were stained too, streaks of scarlet still wet, pooling in his palms. "Where are you going?" He nodded to the bowl. His voice was soft, hypnotizing. "Dude, your dinner is ready." My bag slipped from my grasp. I could sense a smile splitting my own lips apart. "Right," I heard myself say in a breath, a hysterical giggle creeping up my throat. "Dinner, I was already sticking my fingers in the bowl, stuffing myself until I couldn't breathe, spaghetti sauce dripping from my mouth, staining my clothes. It was all over me, painting my fingers rich blood red. Nate held the bowl, waiting until I'd cleaned it out. I was on my knees, trembling, dragging my tongue over every remnant. I lost myself after that meal in particular. Consciousness bled in and out. I was sitting at the dining room table, inhaling my dinner. Then I was bent over the toilet, my head pressed against cool porcelain. I didn't notice I was losing my teeth until I spat a wisdom into the faucet. And 2 days later, I was running my finger over a much sharper, elongated tooth sticking from my upper incisors. I became aware of the house's temperature when I found myself lying awake, shivering, thinking about my next meal. When I slipped out of bed to head to the bathroom, I glimpsed a single layer of frost creeping across the floorboards. Nate mentioned the three of them liked the cold, but freezing to death? I stopped feeling it after a while. I'm pretty sure the temperature never changed, but my body stopped shivering. I began having freezing cold showers, adding ice because my skin was never cold enough. It's not like I didn't get along with the three of them. Outside of our mutual obsession with Finn's cooking and my ongoing awareness of my crumbling sanity, we had movie nights, game nights, and stayed up talking about everything and nothing until dawn. Lizbeth would fall asleep on my bed, the two of us engrossed in a Japanese drama, and Nate insisted on holding movie nights dedicated to specific actors. I almost died during Keanu Reeves' night. The others didn't go to class, but they did disappear for several hours every night. I stopped asking questions when my brain melted into soup. Finn's food took over my life. During movie night, I was thinking about his food. Game night, I was in the kitchen, eating leftovers from the trash. There was something wrong. The words slammed into me every so often, but I had a toxic relationship with my housemates. I couldn't just go. Where else was I going to find Finn's cooking? 9 p.m. I didn't know the day or how many days it had been since I planned my escape out of the bathroom window, only to be lured back by teasing smiles and mushroom risotto. It was so hard to regain control of my own mind. By the time I had managed to get a hold of myself, there they were, always 15 steps ahead of me. I pulled out a bloody molar after dinner, dropping it down the toilet. I think I was supposed to care. But caring and worrying about my debilitating health meant not thinking about what was next for lunch. And there were so many dishes, so many recipes Finn hadn't tried yet. It was always that loose thought that dragged me down, plunging me further and further into an oblivion I couldn't see a way out of. Before I lost most of my mind, I did find something under my mattress. Several VHS tapes, all of them labeled different dates until the handwriting was unintelligible. There was a VHS player in Finn's room, so I snuck inside when he and the others were out of the house. The first tape used to be a wedding video. There were still old white ribbons wrapped around it, and I got a glimpse of an ancient, and I mean old, wedding ceremony at the start. This footage looked like it was before cameras were invented. I was frowning at a pale brunette bride when the real footage jumped into view. I was seeing Lizbeth, Finn, and Nate squashed together on the couch. Nate leaned forward. He looked healthier. His face was fuller, a pinkish blue in his cheeks. He opened his mouth, and I glimpsed a full set of healthy teeth. Present Nate had elongated, fang-like incisors. When he was eating, Nate could fillet a chicken bone within a second. His teeth were not normal. Neither were mine. I was losing all of mine in favor of sharper points that cut my lip open. The boy cleared his throat on tape, and I leaned closer. Nate's mouth formed a teasing smile. If you're watching this video, it means all three of us are dead. The other two side-eyed him, and he burst out laughing. Lizbeth nudged him. Just like Nate, she too looked normal. Her blonde hair was tied into a strict ponytail. This girl was glowing, while present Lizbeth was more of a shell. The girl turned to the camera. Ignore Nate. He thinks he's funny. I am funny, he said. Why are we recording these on my mom's wedding tapes? What's wrong with using TikTok? Because this is way cooler, Lizbeth said. Shush, it's a cool aesthetic. Nate raised a brow. What is aesthetic about ruining my mom's wedding tapes? Anyway, Finn, who was usually shy and withdrawn, was like a hyperactive puppy. It was jarring seeing him smile. We figured we should give our potential housemate a look into our lives. He shot Nate the side eye. Well, we were going to, until you dropped the bombshell that you're going skiing with your weird family. Nate scoffed. It's not my fault. I told you, I don't have a choice. He turned to the camera. Do you see what I have to deal with? You're leaving us for 2 weeks, Finn groaned, tipping his head back. No offense, but I hope you get eaten by a bear. I'm taking full offense, Nate shot back. The tape was mainly bickering and laughing, so I took it out and inserted the next tape. It was the three of them again, though I noticed Lizbeth and Finn were keeping their distance from Nate, who was sitting on the other side, his head cocked, half-lidded eyes drinking in the camera. Lizbeth's smile was a little too forced. She kept shooting panicked glances at the guy. Hey, so we're sorry for taking a while to record. Nate just... He came back from holiday and he's, When Lizbeth drifted off, Finn jumped in. He's sick, he said, shuffling further away from the boy. We're pretty sure it's contagious, so whatever our boy has, we really don't want it. Nate didn't move, his lips quirking into a smile. Aren't you going to ask me how my trip was? His voice was different, and it hit me. He was mimicking Lizbeth. Finn and Lizbeth exchanged glances. Tell him to stop! Lizbeth stood up, her hands clenched into fists. Finn! Nate, take it easy, man. Finn was trembling. Oh, why do you keep... He shot a look at the camera. Asking that? The tape ended in eerie silence with the two of them watching Nate, whose smile only widened. The third tape made me regret exploring my housemate's past. There was just Nate sitting there, completely naked. His cheeks were gaunt, lips pulled into a feverish grin. Beyond him was rapid movement, the sounds of muffled screaming. The tape continued for 5 minutes, and Nate didn't move a muscle. The fourth tape was thankfully back to normal-ish. It started midway through a hissed conversation between them. Finn was sitting cross-legged on the floor. Lizbeth was perched on the chair arm, and Nate was sitting with his knees pulled to his chest. There were giant bald patches on his head, and I found myself running my hands through my hair. I don't know, he whispered into his knees. I told you, I don't remember anything. Finn's lips curled with disgust. He was gingerly wobbling his own loose tooth. You don't remember anything? You don't remember disemboweling my damn cat and stuffing her head in the refrigerator? He made a point of scooting further away. He dislodged the tooth, his eyes widening. You're sick! He needs a doctor, Lizbeth said softly. Her hair was greasy, her clothes stained. I could tell she had been up all night, dark circles shadowing her eyes. Nate curled into himself. I know I do. Damn! Finn stood up shakily, raking his fingers down his face. We can fix this. Okay, we're getting you help. He wrapped his arms around himself. It's freezing. I'm turning up the thermostat. Don't. Nate's tone hardened. It's too warm. What are you talking about? I can see my breath. The last tape felt wrong in my clammy hands. I inserted it when thudding footsteps came up the steps. Kia, hey, I have this new video game. I gathered up the tapes and made my escape before Nate could find me. I wanted to think about what I had found, a clear sickness affecting my housemates, and now it was running through my blood. It was skinning me alive, stealing away my thoughts, making me hungry, but I couldn't think. Every time I tried, I fantasized about eating instead. I can't remember what day it was when I snapped to fruition. The sound of the front door slamming shut downstairs was too loud, and I jerked awake, drool already dripping down my chin. Too loud. I curled into myself, slamming my hands over my ears. I forgot my name. I forgot the year. I forgot why I was naked and chewing on my blanket. I was so hungry. Jumping to my feet, I staggered at how fast I was. My thoughts are dizzy. Clothes were too warm, too stuffy. But I couldn't just walk around naked. Looking at myself in the mirror, I was losing my hair. I didn't notice until my half-lidded gaze caught the visible bald patch on my scalp. When I ran my fingers through it, my nails were loose and hanging off. My skin was pale. My eyes were sunken and red-rimmed. I prodded at my cheeks. Somehow I was getting thinner, but I was eating at least 3 bowls of food a night. Wrong. I stepped back. My nerve endings on fire. Get out. Get the hell out. But again, I couldn't think of anything except food. I stood for a long time, poking at my emaciated stomach. I was never this thin, right? Kia, Lisbeth shouted from downstairs. We're back. Making my way downstairs, I didn't remember actually walking down them. I was at the top, and then I was at the bottom. My breaths labored, my toes primed. My body didn't make sense. I felt like I could twist and contort it. Immediately, I could smell our meal, the aroma forcing my legs into a stumbling power walk to the kitchen. This meal smelled fresh. I couldn't escape it. When my gaze found the door, my escape, my body had a mind of its own, gravitated toward the kitchen. When I pushed the door open, I was hit in the face with a stink that both turned my stomach and filled my mouth with saliva. I was already drooling, feverishly looking for what meal was waiting for me this time. Instead, my housemates were preparing the food. I noticed the plastic first. Under my feet was a sheet of plastic spread out across the floor. I registered the red splatters, but my mind refused to confirm it was in fact exactly what it looked like. I waited for them to reel back in horror at me discovering their hobby, except neither of them were fazed. Lisbeth was playing with the oven dial, wearing a blood-splattered apron, while the boys were knelt on the floor. There was a lump of something, what was left of a human body that had been skinned. Nate's red slicked hands were buried in the abdomen, while Finn had sliced open their skull, scooping out the brains into a plastic container. I could feel my body spasming with fear, a scream crawling its way up my throat. Hey, Kia! Lisbeth saluted me with her wooden spoon. She was jumping up and down on her heels, waving the utensil excitedly. My housemate was stirring something lumpy. I took that moment to take a slow step back. If I turned and ran, I could make it out the front door before they could move. Kia! Tucking a strand of hair behind her ear, Lisbeth beamed at me. She was unbothered, unfazed, which meant I was either hallucinating or my housemates really thought I would be okay with their casual cannibalism. I felt myself freeze, a thick paste creeping its way up my throat. If they had been eating people, then... Before the thought could fully register, I was already knelt on the ground, choking up the remnants of my lunch. Do you mind grabbing me the sriracha sauce from the cupboard? The word was caught in my throat. Yes. But instead of a reply, a shriek was clawing its way into my mouth. It's on the bottom shelf, Nate said from his place on the floor. He was humming a melody and I found myself mimicking it. The boy looked up. A faded red blur caught around his iris. His smile was wide. Fleshy white streaks caught between his teeth. Why was I smiling? Nate patted the place next to him. Yo, I'll show you how to skin a corpse. It's actually really easy. You just use the blade like this. He mimed dragging the knife. It's a clean cut across the gut. Finn chuckled, his hands full of... We'll take her hunting first. When she's caught her first meal, then we show her how to correctly gut a corpse. No, Lisbeth sang. That's too much. She's not even eaten raw yet. My mouth was watering, and the gooey streak of scarlet looked so good. I followed their words and took out the sriracha, my legs giving way. I hit the ground, except I barely felt the impact. Run. Why was I shuffling over to a meat cleaver? Run. Why was I joining them? Kia? The three of them were in front of me, suddenly. There was something inhuman about the way their bodies twisted, like their skin was shedding. Finn regarded me with a cocked head, his teeth on display. Nate and Lisbeth were more territorial, backing me into the wall. and I was twisting around and making for the door. Screw this. I tried to escape 4 times. Each time I am awake, screaming, and they are dragging me back. I went back to the tapes, sliding in tape number 5. This time there was just Finn. I could see where the sickness had begun to take him over, streaking through his veins. He didn't speak for a while, and it was when I was waiting, when I saw the 2 bodies at his feet, Nate and Lisbeth. They were dead, lying in pools of red turning black, but already I could see their emaciated limbs were jerking, moving slowly, skin rippling. Finn coughed lumps of red into his hands. Ugh. He sat back, closing his eyes. He opened his mouth, pointing to his upper incisors, lips widening into a genuine smile.
See these?
He prodded to the tooth.
Ha! I have actual fangs. Thanks, Nate, you damn idiot.
Finn went on about vampires for way too long, so I rewound it.
I have days, Finn spoke through his fingers. Maybe a week if I starve myself.
He sighed, turning his focus to the camera.
If you find this tape, there's only one thing I want you to do, he said. Burn this place down.
The guy pried his eyes open, and I could see writhing darkness tangling around his iris. It was spreading, a spider-like web taking over him.
Whoever welcomed you into our house isn't us. I showed you what happened to Nate to scare you away, man. Get the hell out of this house.
Something moved below him, and already he was jerking up, an inhuman snarl ripping from his throat. Finn jumped up, teeth bared, when the thing that was Nate slowly got to his feet. The guy pulled a knife from his jeans and stabbed the blade into the thing's skull. He screamed, yanking the knife out. Nate dropped to the ground and Finn let out a wet sob, crumbling back onto the couch. There was the hint of red swirling around his pupil, elongated teeth retracting back.
Burn this place down, he heaved out a breath. With us inside.
I'm at a loss of what to do because I have this thing too. I don't even know what it is, but I can't bring it into the outside world. I'm terrified of this thing, but I'm pretty sure it's contagious. If I had to guess, I think it spread through our saliva. Like Finn said, burn all of us and kill this thing. But I don't want to die. They'll be back from their hunt soon. I'm supposed to be joining them. Please, if there's anyone who can tell me how to help them, help me. I can't kill them. That's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this video possible. And, you know, a huge shout out to Trash Tia for writing such amazing stories. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, I'd love it if you'd like the video and maybe subscribe or leave me a comment letting me know your thoughts on it. And if you're anywhere else, don't know what your options are, but I just appreciate you listening. If you'd like to, you can come join our Discord. It's pretty low key. It won't keep you too busy, but you can come say hi or whatever you want. But that's where we're all hanging out. So I just appreciate you being here. And like I said at the end of every video, we'll see you in the next one.